Well, glory, glory, hallelujah. He is risen, amen. Come on, somebody shout it. He is risen indeed. Oh, glory to God. I am so glad you're joining us today online for Resurrection Day, amen. I like to say Resurrection Day, not Happy Easter. I just don't like that word. If anybody has known me for any time at all, they know that that's kind of a pet peeve of mine is it's Resurrection Day. We are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're not celebrating bunnies and eggs and baskets and hey, all of that is okay. Listen, I did it growing up as a kid. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. Just don't associate it with our risen Lord, amen? It's just something fun to do. This is Resurrection Day, and we're so glad you're joining us today. He is risen, glory to God. Listen, I just want to dive right into it today. I want to share with you, I believe, from the heart of God, and I think there are viewers that are joining us that may not know, you know, may not know Jesus once and for all, what he did for us. But there are people out there that have known Jesus their whole life. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to minister to your heart this morning something different, something new, something you haven't heard before. Because I prayed that let it not be my words, but the words of the Holy Spirit that enter your ears. And he's given you those ears to hear what he's going to say to you today. Amen. So I'm preaching to an empty church, but praise God, you've heard this all over social media. The tomb is empty as well. Praise the Lord. He is risen. Glory be to God. You know, they used to greet each other in the streets. After he was resurrected, Jesus was resurrected. They used to walk around the streets and say, and you know, greet each other. He is risen. And they would repeat, he is risen indeed. Oh, man. Maybe we need to get back to that. Greet each other with a holy kiss and say, he is risen, amen. But listen, before we talk about his resurrection, we need to discuss his death. We need to discuss the death of Jesus. Because the same ones, remember last week on Palm Sunday, we talked about the people were crying and laying down the palms, and he was riding in on a donkey, and they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. They were praising him, some of those same people that were praising him the week before were crying out, crucify him! Crucify him! Same people. So we need to talk about his death before we can talk about his resurrection. And I want to make a note here, this was no humane death that Jesus suffered, okay? He suffered a death that was meant for criminals, murderers, and thieves. And not only that, but they humiliated him and beat him to near death prior to nailing him to the cross. One of the most gruesome deaths you could suffer. But he was just fulfilling what the prophet Isaiah had said, and I want to read it to you. If you've got your word, open up your word, Isaiah 53. We talk much about being in the word. The word is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. So let's look at Isaiah 53. What was being fulfilled in Jesus' death and resurrection? The prophet spoke all those years ago, Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow, and this is talking about Jesus here. This, you got to get this, okay? He's talking about the Christ here. For he, Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. And you couple that with Peter 2:24, where it says, we were healed. We're on the other side of the cross now, amen. We were healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of our sin was placed on Jesus the Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Who shall declare it? You and me, that's who. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was an innocent man. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise Jesus, his son. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. God was satisfied with the death of his only begotten son. Why? Because he knew it was the great exchange. He would get all of us in return, those that believe on Jesus. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That is my Jesus. That is what he suffered. That is what Isaiah was talking about. Now, the true testimony that Jesus is the Messiah is his resurrection. His resurrection from the dead. His coming alive from the dead. But it is his death that initiated the new covenant for me and you. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. About his death initiating the new covenant. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And I'm going to read this out of the King James. I'm going to go down to 18 here, okay? It says, and for this cause. Now listen, right, I'll just give you a little background. They used to have to sacrifice bulls and goats because the blood of animals atoned for the sin of Israel, right? And so it gives you a little bit of description about that. Then it says in 15, and for this cause he, Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. He had to die to bring us the new covenant by his blood. Amen? We need to understand this. Listen, it's kind of like this. Here's a good way to put it. If you had a rich uncle, and all his life he was telling you, hey, I have something of great worth that I want to give you, and I'm going to put it in my last will and testament, right? We all make last wills and testaments so that when we die, people know what to do with our stuff, right? We all got too much stuff. So you got this rich uncle, and he says all his life to you, he's telling you, hey, I've got something of great worth that I'm going to write it into my last will and testament. And then your rich uncle dies, and you go for the reading of the will, and it's a 1,000-page will. Well, he'd been telling you his whole life there's something of great worth contained in that will. Do you think you wouldn't scour every page of that will to find out what that rich uncle left you? Man, we ought to be the same. This, with the death of Jesus, he has left us the new covenant, and men have written it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we need to read it to find out what the treasure is that is hid in it. The great worth that he has left in his last will and testament for us believers. Amen? I know this is Resurrection Day, but we got to get some things straight. We got to understand a few things so we can truly celebrate the risen King. Romans 6, verses 3 through 5, I'll just read them. Say this, and I love how Paul puts stuff sometimes. Are you ignorant? This is out of the Amplified. Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by the baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. See, we were baptized, buried with Christ. For if we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. Your old life, the old you, was buried with Christ, and you were resurrected to a new life with Jesus. If you've received him, and he's the only way, people. If you've received him, you were resurrected to new life. To new life. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you are a new creation in Christ. That old you, that has passed away. No matter what you've done, what you've said, what kind of scoundrel you were in that old life, because of his death, the death of the testator, he has given us a new will and testament, a new covenant by his blood. And you are a new creation in him. And that old man has passed away. You don't even recognize that old person. You don't even know who they are. You don't remember them. You may remember some things, but you have a revelation of who you are in Jesus, and you're that new creation. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Jesus is disturbed by everything that's going on in the earth today? Do you think he's disturbed by that? I don't think he is. I think it's just like when he fell asleep in the back of that boat. Just like when he fell asleep in that storm. He is still seated at the right hand of the Father because of his resurrection. Amen. He's at peace. He is making intercession for you and I. We need to understand just what his death and resurrection means to us. If we don't connect the dots here, we're going to miss out on a glorious life filled with peace and tranquility, even in the face of the storm. Amen. Listen, Jesus was in that same storm that his disciples were. The very same storm. He was on the same boat, but he wasn't bailing water. We are all in this storm. They're calling it COVID-19 right now. We're all in it together. It is affecting all of us in some way, some more than others. I understand that. But my question is, are you barely keeping your head above water? Are you trying to bail yourself out? Or are you doing what Jesus did? Speaking to the storm. Are you speaking to the storm? And yes, I'm talking specifically about this storm that's going on in our world right now. But that could be any storm in your life. How do you handle, how do you cope with the storms that rise up in your life? I think Jesus is our great example. He didn't lose his peace. He didn't lose his calm. He simply spoke to the storm with his mouth. Are you speaking to your storms with the authority and the power that his resurrection provided? That's what we're celebrating today, Resurrection Day, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But are you walking in the authority that that resurrection bought and paid for you with? Well, let's look at that Resurrection Day. I can't preach on Resurrection Day and not go to the Word and share that day with you. It's kind of like Christmas and not reading the Christmas story. Or not reading the birth of Jesus story, right? You have to share these things. Matthew chapter 28. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. And I'll read out of the King James. I'm not going to read a tremendous amount. In fact, there's every gospel records this. And there's, just like I've told you before, you have to read all the gospels and mix all the information because you get a true picture that way. But I'm just going to read out of Matthew 28 today. It says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, today, the first day of the week, how many went to a sunrise service this morning? Glory be to God. Oh, let me get back to this. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher, where he was buried, the grave where Jesus was buried. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Ooh, this is the only gospel that says there was a great earthquake. And I think that's awesome. There was a great earthquake, and for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men, those that were guarding the grave, right? Because they wanted to put centurions out there to guard the grave because they'd heard, you know, that Jesus was going to be resurrected. Well, they didn't want his disciples coming and taking the body and then saying that he was resurrected. That happened anyways, but where am I at? His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, he is risen indeed, as he said he would. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. You know, we ought to all be running with this great, tremendous word that he is alive. Jesus is alive and well and sitting at the right hand of the Father, peace in peace and calm, interceding on our behalf. Who's going to believe our report? We have to be sharing the gospel in this earth because he's not here, but he did send us one to help. The Holy Spirit, amen. He said after his resurrection and after he appeared to them for 40 days after that, he said, go and tarry, go and wait in Jerusalem until I send you. Whew, power from on high, power to be a witness to a lost and dying world. Amen. This is what we should be doing, telling people that the Messiah is risen and he is coming back soon. He is coming back soon. He is coming back soon. I'm not a date setter. I'm not a doomsdayer. But I know that today I am one day closer to his return than I was yesterday. Amen. And there's good news in that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let me ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for His return? Are you speaking to this storm that we are dealing with in this world right now? And there are many storms. Listen, the spirit of the Antichrist is at work. He's been at work for a long time. But we have the victory. The victory that overcomes the world is even our faith. Our faith in what? Our faith in a risen Savior. Our faith in the new covenant, this last will and testament that He died, when He died, put into effect for you and me. Amen. Are you ready? As we face these storms in life, as we face this current storm, I'm calling this current one the 4C method. All right? I'm coining that phrase, the 4C method, the letter C, 4C method. Here it is. Corona. Corona leads to contemplation. There are people that are walking around and their hearts are, the Bible says their hearts are going to fail them for fear. They're walking around in fear because of the coronavirus. Well, I believe for some that's going to lead to contemplation. They're going to contemplate, what does all this mean? Where's my part in this? What is going on? And that contemplation is going to lead to conviction. They're going to start to get convicted in their heart because a seed was planted in their life years ago, or someone mentioned the gospel to them just in passing, or they overheard a conversation, or maybe a family member specifically set out to share the good news with them. What's going to lead to conviction? And then that conviction is going to lead to conversion. What do I mean? Oh, they're going to be converted and translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Their eternal destiny changed forever. 4C method. Corona leads to contemplation, leads to conviction, which leads to conversion. The conversion of souls. We want souls converted, right? We want to see the great harvest that the Word talks about. A harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of light. Is that you? Is today the day of your salvation? Remember we talked about that word, salvation? This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith that Jesus is alive. He's been resurrected from the dead, the first fruits of us. My. I know that we're all dealing with some things. We all have things that we deal with. Again, I know this has affected more than others. But I want to encourage you today. Do what Jesus did. Let Him be your example. Speak to the storm. Speak to the storm. Understand His death and resurrection. One way that we do that is we receive what we call communion. And I told you that we were going to receive communion last week, today. And for those of you who don't know what that word communion means, we're going to talk about it. We'll get into that. But I've got my juice and my cracker. I hope you've got something. Hey, if you got to use a Cheez-It, go grab some nabs out of the cabinet. You know, grab a piece of bread, even that end piece that nobody likes. Just pick a little piece out of it. Grab you some juice or milk or water. Listen, I want to explain, and we're going to find out. That's not the content of what you are eating and drinking is not as important as why you're doing it. Amen. So let me read 1 Corinthians. If you've got your word, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, not 2nd. First is before 2nd. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and let me start in verse 23. And I want to read out of the King James here, I think. And we're talking about communion, what communion is. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. And they had a lot of stuff going on at the church at Corinth. We're not going to get into that. But he was just, he's repeating here what he had received of the Lord. He says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had gave thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We're going to get to that sentence. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, the New Covenant, in my blood." Remember, he has to die for that New Testament, that New Covenant to take place. "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." That's why it was important we talked about his death before we talked about his resurrection. Amen. So as we receive communion, we are remembering the torment of the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is what we are to remember. That's just what he said there in verse 24. He says, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." No, listen, listen. You are not eating the flesh of Jesus, and you are not drinking his literal blood. I know that there, and I don't want to get into doctrine here, transubstantiation and all of that. What you are doing, and that's why I said you can take any emblem, you can take any drink, because the importance of it is that you are remembering. You are remembering. You are bringing it back to your remembrance, his death, burial, and resurrection, and what that afforded you. Some think you can't receive communion because you're unworthy. And it talks, it says, you know, as you read down verses, we can read down further. It says, "Wherefore," this is 27, "Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That's an important phrase. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And that word sleep means die. Okay? Many people don't partake of communion because they feel that they are unworthy. But that's not what that's talking about. It just means if you don't discern what Jesus did for you, if you don't discern that, then you can be deceived into an early departure from this earth. Because he bought and paid with his blood for you. And that word salvation, remember what it means? It means a lot more than just eternal destination. Means deliverance, safety, prosperity, wholeness. Amen? Remember what we read in Isaiah? He bore your sins and your griefs and sorrows and sickness and pain in his own body. That's what we're to remember. In fact, the word talks about he was so disfigured by the beatings that he received that he was unrecognizable. I know many of you have seen that movie, The Passion, the Mel Gibson movie, and I've said it before, I don't believe, you know, that's a decent representation of what he may have suffered, but I don't think it's even true. I think it was much worse. The flesh being ripped from his body, the thorns being pressed into his skull. His beard being yanked out, slapped and punched and beaten and swollen, bloody. Listen, if we don't have a revelation of His death, burial, and raising back to life, then you cannot experience what He did it all for. If He isn't who this book says He is, then there's no church, there's no new birth, there's no salvation, there's no reason to live, because what are you living for? It says, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. What are you living for? But 2 Corinthians puts it this way, for He hath made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we, you and I, might be made the righteousness of God. He bought your freedom from eternal death. He secured your safety from the lake of fire. There is no second death for those who believe in Jesus. He made that great exchange, His life for yours, even when you didn't deserve it. And therefore, your righteousness, your right standing with God is in Him, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The King of kings. The Lord of lords. Oh, glory. But when you know who you are and your covenant rights and you stand in them, you speak to your storms, then you can believe what the psalmist said, with long life I will satisfy Him. He will satisfy you with long life. If you believe, if you have revelation, if you understand His death, burial, and resurrection. And that is why we take communion. We do it to remember what Jesus did for us. So if you have your crackers, your Cheez-Its, and your juice ready, as we take of the bread and the juice, remember, your old man has died and was buried with Christ. And just as Christ was resurrected to new life, when you received Him as your Lord and Savior, you were resurrected to new life with all of its benefits. So as we take of the bread and the juice, or whatever you have, somebody said if they could take communion with sausage gravy and biscuits and coffee, I said, hey, whatever floats your boat. Because it's not what it is, but what it represents. And we do it to remember what Jesus did for us. His body, the bread, was broken for you and me. The pain, the torture of the cross, He endured for you and me. And you need to remember that. And when you take of this bread, that is what you remember. And all the benefits that go with it. Long life. Healing. Healing is yours. I believe that as you take of the bread. Listen, it doesn't matter how many times you take communion, whether it's 10 times a day or once a year. But you need to remember that the provision that Christ gave us when He died, that new covenant, healing is part of it. Amen? So as you take of the bread, you are remembering His broken body. You are remembering the stripes that He bore on His back for your healing. So as you take of it, be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Amen? I receive the body of Jesus, broken for me. I receive healing in my body. I remember what He did for me on the cross. What He bore in His body. We just read it. My griefs, my sorrows, my pain, my sickness was put on Him so that I could be delivered from it. And then when we take of the drink, when we take of the juice, we remember that His blood was poured out. Remember, there is no... you have to have a death of the testator to receive what is in that last will and testament. So by the shedding of His blood, He gave us the new covenant. And we have all the benefits, all the promises is there for us. And when we partake of this drink, we remember that. We put it in remembrance that His blood was poured out for you and me. As you take of the cup, remember that. The precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of the Lamb was poured out. And you are washed. You are washed. You are washed in His blood and made as white as snow. Pure. Unblemished. When God looks at you, He looks through the blood of Jesus. And He sees someone perfect. Remember that when you receive the cup of His blood. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus the Christ. We thank You that He was obedient, even unto death, because He saw us. I believe each of our names was on His lips when He was hanging there on the cross and said, "It is finished." When He had accomplished all that You had sent Him to this earth to do, He said, "It is finished." He gave up His spirit. He died. They buried Him. And on resurrection day, that third day, He arose from the grave. Oh, glory to God. He defeated death. He defeated death and He went up back to His Father, sat down at His right hand. But you know what? He did not leave us alone. He sent us His Holy Spirit. And if you can receive it, that Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead lives and dwells on the inside of you. And it's that power that gives us the ability to be witnesses in this world, to stand in the face of the storm and say that we are more than conquerors because Christ Jesus conquered for us through His blood. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that you have a better understanding and revelation of what this day is, what it means when we celebrate communion together. It's not a ritual. It's not a religious ceremony. Listen, the Bible says that because of the traditions of men, it makes the Word of God of no effect. When you do something out of tradition or rote, when you do something over and over and over and it means nothing to you, you have no understanding of it, you just do it. It does nothing for you. It makes the Word of God of no effect. But from now on, when you take communion, I hope you have a better understanding of why you are taking it, what it is that Jesus did for you, why we celebrate Resurrection Day. I hope you have a better revelation now. And I believe by the Holy Spirit, He's given you ears to hear what He has to say today. So let me encourage you in that. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. If you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, today is the day of your salvation. He is available to you. And all you have to do, I believe that it's stirring something on the inside of you, and that stirring is stirring you up to repentance. Repenting just means turning away from the person you were and turn to God. Let that old man pass away. Let the new man take over. And as you believe that in your heart and you confess that out of your mouth, Jesus, I want you in my life, in my heart. Come and reside on the inside of me. He will honor that request. And you'll be a new man, a new woman, a new child. You'll be a child of God forever. Hallelujah. Well, I hope this has encouraged you today. I pray that you would go out and encourage others. He is risen. Come on, say it with me. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Join us back again next Sunday, 10 a.m. We'll do this again, live Facebook. I hope that you share and follow us and like us so that we can get the word out to as many as possible with this digital media age that we have. Be blessed because you are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah.